Queer Theory is a podcast challenging anti-blackness through discussions of global, local, and popular culture from the perspective of Afro-Canadians who live different versions of ourselves to navigate everyday life. The podcast is available on Apple, Google, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Podbeans, Radio Public, and Stitcher. Everyone, and welcome to episode 39 of
the Black Multiverse Theory Podcast.
And if you're watching on Facebook right now, the making of episode 39 of the Black Multiverse Theory Podcast. How was your weekend? I kind of know how it was. We're here and we're tired. Is anybody tired? Everybody's in their bed.
I am exhausted.
Yeah.
As my friendly Jamaicans say.
Did you watch Major Hype yet when he was on Family Feud?
Yes.
Like, name a letter that starts with the word H. Horridge.
I rewound that 5 times.
The whole thing was funny. The thing I like most about it, literally, is that the man at the end of it is like, waiting to see his answers coming from the screen. I'm like, this guy really thinks those answers are going to be after. Major Hype, he's so good. His characters are so good.
They're really good.
I know BET didn't know what to do with him.
But that's all right.
Sure is. He's got the internet, honestly.
He's done. He's definitely got the medias.
Yeah. So, some really exciting things in the recap this week. Do you want to start with sports and then go into entertainment?
No, I want to start with entertainment. The week. So the week, and this is for all the parents out there. This week, my daughter got into an argument with... I guess her
frenemy
friend, yeah, at school.
It was a frenemy situation,
and it was touch and go with it. And when you realize that, you know, kids get into arguments all the time, and this particular argument escalated into a fight,
fisticuffs,
and
no balls though.
Yeah, and then. My daughter didn't do anything. Like, she didn't fight. Like, she didn't put up a fight. And as a parent, part of me as a parent wants you to be like, yo, you didn't slap her up. And the other part of me is like, no hitting. You know, you don't want to be like, don't hit humans.
Yeah, but is there no defend yourself clause in that?
There's a defend yourself clause. And she did. She put her hands up and she defended herself. But... I felt like a couple tight slaps might have been
in order.
Warranted.
In order.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the first one. So please mention in the comments anything about that. Let's hear what you have to say about
bullying.
About bullying, or sometimes there's mental health issues that are undiagnosed.
Mm.
So it could be that. And sometimes it's just somebody just freaking out. So.
Mm. I have a client who had actually started an anti-bullying coalition at her son's school because he was going through a lot of stuff, a lot of bullying stuff, pretty much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's important.
It sure is.
Yeah. So after that, we kind of took care of it in-house and took care of that. But we had a huge week coming up after that.
Mm-hmm.
Going into sports, Nariah played a game on Saturday. He left the Black History Month opening ceremonies and went for his game where he won. I think the score was somewhere around 6-3 or 5-3 or something.
Nice work. That's a good game. It's not a total blowout.
Yeah. And it started out with his team being short, a few players, and then players came late. And
everybody's ready to go.
Yeah, everybody was ready. The Cavalry's here, and they came in. So he was really excited about that. They're going into a tournament next week. So I think it's called the Polar Cup. Might be the Polar Cup, or it might be another one. But he's going into that tournament. Mm-hmm. And then Nishan is also going into the tournament. He won his game today. That game was tough and rough, and both sides were getting a little bit handsy. There's one a black kid on the team other than my Sean and the other black child, and so it's three of them, and he runs like a person would skate. Mm-hmm. So he runs with his shoulders. Mm-hmm. But when he gets to you, his hands are on you. Oh. In soccer, right? So one of the parents screamed out, "Hey, that guy, what are you doing?" And the ref turned and pointed at the person in the stands and was like, "You need to be quiet when they're playing. I will handle it." And our team was like, because they were yelling at our team. All the parents.
They were yelling at the other team.
Yeah, so the other team was yelling at our team.
One of
our kids, they were running at the same time. And what happens is they're running at the same time. Everybody keeps forgetting. These children are all under the age of 13. There's nobody above 13. There's nobody the age of 13. It's everybody 12, 11, 10. Right? Actually, just 12 and 11. These are 12 and 11-year-olds. That's it. But you have guys that are taller and bigger. This kid's running. He looks like a full man.
Do you find, I'm not sure if it is the same with children's soccer, that refs call more fouls on the brown and black kids? We have that issue in basketball. I've actually talked to a lot of parents of girl children, and our girl children typically get higher fouls, and they're like not even doing anything. Like Veronica, for example. You know Veronica's tall. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Jasmine's little sister.
Oh, is she on the team?
She's on a basketball team.
Oh, yeah.
And they heavily call fouls on her, like heavily, heavily, heavily. Sanaya heavily gets call fouls on her as well.
Yeah, I find there's lots of, in soccer, you get a lot of fouls, but it's more, from what I can tell, it's more of a size thing. Mm. It's more of a height thing than it is a
race. Black and brown.
Black and brown, mm-hmm. kind of thing. So,
the bigger kids, they usually call more fouls.
They get a lot of fouls, the bigger kids. So, they're both running for the net, and this kid runs and trips. Like, our kid, because he's so big, when he touches the ball will stay still. And then the little kid will try to kick it, running, and it will trip him. And it will look like he tripped him. So, parent yells out, "Ah!" And the ref yells back, "Ah!" And then I said, "Man, where's the ref liaison?" And then after the game, the person he was yelling at was the ref liaison. It was like the person's supposed to be quiet. Like, but we won 8-6. Nishan scored one goal. It was a good goal. He definitely stole the goal from his
teammate.
It
touched him last type of a deal.
The ball was bouncing towards like the net, and his teammate is the type who kind of waits for the ball to get in perfect position.
Oh,
right. So it's beside him and it's bouncing. So he's there waiting for. He's like running beside it, whereas like our other teammates, they will stop the ball from bouncing with their feet and control it and then run. So Nishan came from behind. This kid was waiting for it to bounce, and it was coming. Nishan just came from behind, just booted it. Boom, right into the net. He ran around. Ah! The kid was like, "I was going to shoot that." But then that same kid got a chance to score another goal.
As long as justice was done.
Oh, yeah, it was good. It was really good justice.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
So, that was about sports. Earlier this week, I changed my hair. It's been a topic of discussion for a lot of people.
Yeah, people are really taking it personally. They have all kind of impersonal investments in this, in these coils.
I changed my hair because I felt like it was not being managed properly in the harsh environments of work. And I kind of wanted something that was like, I didn't change it because I was like, I want to change my style. It was more of like, I got to protect this hair because it's getting so strong and so long. I don't want it to fall out or break or get too dry. The weather is already volatile to my texture of hair. Type 2 coils or curls or whatever they call it.
Yeah, I don't coil type so much, but yes. And you're in totally in the wrong numbers, but yes.
Sure, man. So
I don't consider it valid anyway, so that's why it's not even.
So these, the coils, you know, I would come into the bathroom and I used to go like this with my hair and just tease it with my fingers, and I pull my hand out and there would be like lots of hair in my hands. So much so that it started to clog up the shower drain. So I was like, And then I started to ask you for your product over at, you know, Aphrodisiac Natural Shop over at 114, 45, 124.
It's really funny how you say that every time.
And, the hair started to really grow, and I have rare breakage. And, like, it's probably places that I might have missed with it. I'm oiling it, and it's... it's luxurious when it comes out.
So your hair fall has reduced, do you think?
Big time.
Okay.
So
that's good.
Because of that, it has grown probably about an inch more than normal. Mm. And so I wanted to do something different. So people are like, oh, what are you going to do with it? And some people are like, just cut it. And some people are like, oh, I like your short hair better. You're handsomer. And some people were like, oh, the church is not going to frown upon it. And some people
were
like...
Was that girl one Charlene?
Huh?
Was that girl one Charlene?
Which one?
Did it, like, get better with the short hair?
No.
So then it does not matter.
Sure. So anyway, so a lot of people have comments about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is just different. It's... it feels like there's a hat on my head most of the time because it's just there. And but it's just healthy. It's just healthier. And I couldn't find my do-rag, so it gets frizzy very easily. The girls took my do-rag. So I got to buy one that's more of a manly color.
And you might not be able to see this if you're watching on Facebook, but Nigel also has a man bun.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I got it. It's back here.
It's there.
Mm. So my little great nephew is there, and we were both rocking man buns today at church. We went to church, and people have different viewpoints about different things, and that's one of them. And now,
Tanya said boys basketball as well. She finds it that certain kids overly, overly called for overly, fouls.
I hear that.
So that was the week.
Mm.
But then came the week. And how was that? I'll tell you my week. My week was struggleful. It was just struggleful.
Struggleful.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Yeah, I just said it. That is literally the rule of language. Are you talking about Webster, Merriam, and Oxford and them people?
I just want to know if it was an actual word, that's all.
It is an actual word. I just said it. Did it sound like... all right. Was that refreshing? So I had... Yeah, we just had a lot. Like, the week was just overlapped with a lot of things that we wanted to do for the weekend. So... it was a lot. I worked very early and very late many nights. I kind of got to the point when we were cleaning up last night where I was like, I need sleep now. And it was felt like fists were gonna fly. I was a little bit annoyed, and not really annoyed, just like crotchety is what we would say. Guyana, I don't know if that's a word for you. Is that a word?
It is a word.
Yeah. Okay. Is it? Are you sure? It was Webster. I'm just kidding. So I was a little crotchety last night. Anyway. And then this morning, like, I went to sleep late. And then this morning, yesterday, I had an early client that I had to end up rescheduling. So she rescheduled for this morning at 8. I literally woke up at 10 to 8. Like, oh, I just messaged her. I was like, I'm going to be 40 minutes late. Let me just take my shower and get along my way. So that was good, too. I sometimes feel like this week I haven't been driving. Well, I haven't driven the last couple of days. But it feels like when I'm in a rush and I take like Uber or a cab, the cab driver or Uber that I'm taking is like destined, like he just really, really wants to make me late. That's how it feels like every time. So this guy is like maybe 150 meters from the light. It's green. My man starts to slow down. It turns yellow. He slows down and comes to a full stop. At this point, it's still yellow. I'm like, you can literally go through. He's like, oh yes. I forgot you're in a rush. I'm like, I'm almost positive that means you just did it on purpose. I was like,
pretty much.
Yeah, but I gave him, anyway, gave him his 5 stars. So he could keep his job.
I don't know.
Tanya says you're in a heathen hairstyle.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So the weekend, the two events that we had, one of them was Black History Month opening ceremony. But as you all may know, Nigel is the PR representative for the MBCC. So he does some programming, and you might see him out there hosting some things. Gospel Night's coming up. You've seen him host in the past. And this year we programmed the Black History Month opening ceremonies. We had a lot of help from our team. Our two MCs, our hosts, they're fabulous. That would be JoJo and Shiloh. Yeah, it was a great time. The mayor was like them. Everybody liked them. Actually, everybody liked them. I got a lot of compliments on the MCs. They were like, wow, they were so perfect. Thanks.
Yeah, they were really good.
Yeah, they did well. And then Janelle, JoJo's mom, did a really great job of making sure they had the right card for when they were going on, mm-hmm. and had them sort of sorted and where they should have been and all those things. So
yeah,
that was really good too. And it was a lot of help. DJ Game Girl, just on the ones and twos. We pretty much spent the entire day with DJ Game Girl yesterday. She did really well. She's been doing this for 8 years. So she's like, I've kind of been doing this. I'm like, you excited? She's like, I've kind of been doing this for 8 years. I was like, are you excited that it's different? She's like, okay, that's different. Yeah, it's looking forward to seeing what that is. But it was good. Of course, my favorite band, Bliss, performed. Mm-hmm. We got a standing ovation from the mayor, who came up to me specifically to be like, they're so great. Like, please make sure you tell them I thoroughly enjoyed that set. Like, he kept going like this, like, yes. Like, we were the pride of Edmonton at that moment. It was good. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a really good time. I know I did. I know I had a really good time. Bliss always comes through because love is something special, right? True. So, and
I think everybody in the band is like actual fans of everybody else in the band. I think that's what happens. The whole band is like, after every show, our chat is like, I love you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you for performing together. What an amazing time. It's so special. Every time. We're all like, I'm so grateful to have you. Like, it's
always love.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what comes across in our performances, I think. Mm-hmm. And we're up there supporting each other. Everybody's having fun. Kajé's face, if you see the picture, she looks so cute and beautiful. She's like smiling at everybody on the stage when she's not smiling at the audience.
I got the dish on all the stuff that happens in the background that you don't see. Like, we got there. I got there mad early. Nobody was there, no tables set up, no nothing. But my sound guys, Shane and Sean.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah, the two sound guys?
Shane and Sean.
Shane and Sean.
Okay.
Sean
loved my shoes, particularly.
They ripped it. They did a really good job.
They did a phenomenal job. They were there working hard, though, boy. Making everything sound all right.
Yeah, they came in. I brought in 9 in-ear monitors. So that the band would all have in-ear monitors. I brought in wireless mics. The mall provided wireless mics. They turned all the lights on. They turned all the power on for everything and for everyone, which was great. It's just a huge difference between the years, because as you do these things, you get better and better and better. So
the setup was better?
Yeah, last year the plugs in the walls weren't working. The lights didn't get turned on. The green room didn't get opened up.
Okay.
The guys came for the green room at 4:00. We were done. They're like, "Oh, I heard you need the green room open." And we're like, "Yeah, actually, what you could do is take these tables and pack them up and get them out."
What was the difference this year? The expectation that they treat us with dignity, or what?
I think this year the difference is we determined that Black History Month opening ceremony should have a standard of excellence.
Yeah.
It should be something that people understand is not just a show or just a ragtag last minute, "Hey, I heard you could play this. You think you can strum 2 tunes for me at this thing tomorrow?" Mm-hmm. Like, it's not one of those things. We wanted to make sure that everybody got in, that everybody got paid, that every name was right, that everything was going well. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, you know, having the media come and CTV News and having
Global was there.
Global and the radio there, CBC.
CBC Radio was there?
Yeah. I was on the radio. Anything.
Oh, you were? Wow. Yep. Look at you PRing. PRing it up.
PR. So we had that. And then, you know, the little things that you don't see, and these are the things I'm mentioning right now that you don't see that go wrong. So our dancers did a wonderful job, but they were just a little bit late. So
it was 100% my fault.
They're running in traffic very late.
The thing that was my fault, though, is because on the original program, they were later. Mm. Ivan and I were having 2 separate conversations in the dance group, and then a separate conversation, like Latin Fest is coming up as well.
Okay.
So yeah. Just so you guys know, Aphrodisiac will be vending at that as well. So come out, look for us. That's on the 1st, so, and it goes later than 5 Artists. If you go into 5 Artists, we can dip out there after. Mm. Which is what I'll probably do. So what happened is the time change, I communicated to Ivan, who didn't communicate it to Masani, and I did not communicate it in the dancers group. So she was perfectly fine. Like, she was like literally early for the original time schedule. She came, painted all her
She was ready to go. Ivan was just there, and he was like, "Oh, I'm here to dance." He's like, "I'm ready."
You know, dancers do that.
And they got like people to march around and dance with them. They pulled people out.
I love that they did that.
And they got it going. Yeah. But they were running a little bit late, so we're like, "Okay, let's get Bliss on." But Bliss was also told the time, and so our bass player there, LaShawn, the smiling bassman, mm-hmm. he was running on time.
Yes, he was perfectly on time. Actually, matter of fact, he was 13 minutes
And I made a joke and I said, "Hey, just to get a little fire out his bottom, tell him that we're going on now." And they told him, and they're like, what? And Rio, trying to be, you know, a good friend, was like, "Nah, they're just joking with you, man. Just come." And then it just so happened that we had to go on
right away. Time. Yeah.
So then she had to text him. She's like, "Actually, it's true. You gotta get here." So LaShawn races in.
So I'm backstage, behind the stage, not downstairs. So I'm behind the stage. As LaShawn comes in, I grab his jacket, which has his bag on it, and he just Superman runs to the stage while me pulling off his jacket and his bag. I got it. He's like, and picks up his bass.
We start, and he's right behind us, just in time for the first song.
You guys did it well doing a long intro.
Yeah, we did. I said, okay, what we'll do is we'll do a long intro and try to go
by
through
by yourself sometimes.
Because at the end, we were gonna go through all the band members at the end. So I said, let's just do an impromptu one at the beginning.
Right.
And so we did an impromptu one, just a mic test, you know, checking out. It helps Depeche, us to check everything.
Depeche goes, 2:00? I'm like, yeah, man, you got to go. I said, we're running on y'all's time now.
And that's it. Like, it was like, boom, boom, boom. Yeah. Like, everything happened.
We made it happen.
Yeah, even Portaro was like, you think, he comes to me, he's like, you think if I go home and get my family, I can make it on time? I'm like, for sure, man, you can do it. And then I said, oh, we gotta go now. And I'm like, somebody could text Taro and tell him we gotta go now. So he got there. He got there for the last song of the second set. He was really mad, upset about it.
The second set?
Of
the first set, yeah.
And so he was there, but it really was pretty good.
I think what I learned is that next year, it doesn't matter what time your set is. Everybody has to be there at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, everybody has to be there.
Boom, boom, boom.
The Cypher went on a little bit early because of the changes too, right?
Yeah.
And because of the changes that went on, we could have probably added about 2 or 3 more items in there.
Yeah, for sure.
Which we'll,
We know for next year. This was a good base start. Like, I learned a lot. Remember, I've never done this before. Yeah. I don't know if you have.
I've just emceed the event. I've never actually put it together and put the program together. And it wasn't really that it was hard. It was hard only because and I've learned this from plumbing, the most unreliable thing is never the item you're working on. It's the person you're working on it for.
Yeah.
And that's usually the person. That's usually the problem. So people in general, you ask for 10 minutes, they'll give you 5. Some people. Sometimes you ask for 10 minutes, they'll give you 30. It's just, you can't gauge it. We threw up.
Thank goodness for Casey Badu, boy. He's like, let me take my time.
Yeah, he did. He took his time and didn't speak. But he came down after he saw people, bucking, their hair bucking.
He stayed for a while, actually.
He did.
Yeah. And I think he thoroughly enjoyed himself. He was jamming out, rapping all of Lauryn Hill doo-wop.
The people who were there and the constituents that were there, I was really happy with. The police department was there with their people and their representatives. I really appreciated them. They're all tapping their toes and clapping their hands and standing ovations and doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, the mayor gave us a standing ovation as well. He was quite impressed with the band for sure. We had those shout out to the girls up top. I don't know their names.
When you saw Casey, was that the darker skinned dude or the lighter skinned dude?
Darker skinned dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just making sure. There was another guy there as well. There was a lighter skinned dude. Oh. He was like, he knew every word to every song.
He was jabbing.
He was jamming. He was like, oh,
that's right.
He gave that steak face like, this is my jam. I was like, yeah. I said, I'm thinking to myself, I want to meet that guy. That guy looks cool. But he left early.
Oh.
So he stayed late, almost as late as Casey Madu, but then he had to leave.
I actually didn't expect none of those people to say that. They'd say their piece and go along their way.
It was good.
I didn't even expect the mayor to stay as long as he did, to be honest. He
came through. I was excited. Years in the past, he has not come through. He has come through for some things, but he's not really, he kind of just shows up, And then we do this weird thing. He presented us with the proclamation for the year.
Yeah. Where does that go? Where does it live now?
Well, I don't know. The MBCC has recently sold their building, which is the Marcus Garvey Center. Mm. And they sold that to Token Naturals and Token Bitters. And they are now the owners of the building. So that leaves the NBCC office vacant at this time as we look for a new place. So we have a temporary office set up. So it probably will go back to that office, to the temporary office, and it will stay there. Mm-hmm. But normally it would sit in our main office and we'd hang it up on the wall. And that used to be at the building, at the Marcus Garvey Center.
We have more than one every year, I guess. We have all the years.
Like yeah.
Eight of them or whatever.
Yeah, we have for years. We've been doing it for longer than 8 years, but...
Sorry, I'm using Game Girl's numbers.
We brought her in at a certain point.
Right.
The mall, some people disagree. The history between National Black Coalition in Canada and opening ceremonies is early in, like a few years back, I think about 4 years back, the NDP party fought and was like, we need to make Black History Month a thing in Alberta. Mm-hmm. And they made it a thing and made this announcement for the first time, blah, 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 blah. But they did not go through the history books and realize that in 1986, the same thing was done by Michael Brudhagen, the president of MBCC, who went to the mayor at the time, who was Jan Reimer, I think it was at the time, way, way back. And she actually made City Hall the place. Like you basically went to her office. She set everything up at City Hall, and we had opening ceremonies at City Hall. I remember singing on the stairwell of City Hall and having the constituents have chairs out in the front of City Hall, and you come. I've done that about 4, 5, or 6 times. But then as presidency changes and people get out, they moved it to the mall. The mm-hmm. mall was a little bit of a better place at the time, they thought, because it's where everybody is. It's a big celebration. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get to. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows where it is. Mm-hmm.
So they except the mall is like yelling into a fishbowl.
Yes. But before, they didn't have it there. They had it at the bay.
In the main stage.
At the ritzy area.
The good one. I'm just kidding.
I think it would have been better at the ice rink.
Where? There's another stage over there?
What they do is they put the
thing on top of
on
the ice.
On top of the ice and make it into a stage. They've done that many, many times.
Let's work for that.
We could.
Okay.
We could definitely do that.
Put it on the docket. Yeah. Please.
Totally change
it. I want whatever.
But I think what happens is that spot is more
of money?
More of a tax write-off for the mall.
Yeah, but so is... think about how big the tax write-off is if you do it on the ice rink for us.
I hear that. I know Saturdays they do like hockey practices and stuff. Mm. So it would be something that has to be worked through.
Yeah.
But it was really great.
Okay, then they need to hang something from the ceiling in that back area to make it sound regular then.
Yeah, I think soundproofing the back area is
I don't mind it back there, to be honest with you. Like,
it was great.
The only thing is the acoustical. Like, that area literally has a... like a dome above it. It is literally like yelling into. I looked up, I was like, okay.
And this was what we were talking about. So we had many, many practices before this to make sure that we had the right set to make people to hit that kind of crowd. And one of the things we talked about was the acoustics there and the song selection for the acoustics there. So the worry was some of the songs we have were so beautiful that we didn't want to play them at there because the sound would be so bad.
Yeah.
And that it would lose its flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Although every song we sang was...
it sounded good.
Pretty good. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it sounded good. It could have definitely sounded worse. And it didn't sound bad, but it was... being on stage, it was a little bit frustrating.
Yeah.
But it definitely, when I was off stage and listening to you guys, granted I was within like 25, 30 feet of the stage at all times, it sounded good from the ground, from where we were standing, and everybody was pretty much impressed. So...
yep. Very good.
Mm-hmm. And then, also at the mall, we had our magazine, Melanistic Magazine.
So, for those of you who don't know, we created a magazine. We created a high quality magazine with high quality articles.
We should have one here. We should have had it. I don't know why I didn't have one here. Anyways. You can actually go onto melanisticmagazine.com to look at that. It's right up there.
.com. You can scroll through the pages.
Flip through the pages. You can also see who our distribution partners are. So if you're feeling like you want to go and pick up a physical copy so you have it for yourself, it's over there. It's on that. It's on that page. So it's a new beginning.
And it was great. So we were able to purchase into the booklet. NBCC has their booklet and it has a calendar of events and stuff, and we were able to purchase a page to advertise, and then we were able to have a booth there also. Mm-hmm. And we were allowed to have a laptop there and a booth there where we showed, you know, the kind of the making of it and what it's about. It's a free magazine, so people were very interested.
Yeah,
I think we burned through about 200
at the mall.
At the mall, yeah.
Wow.
I think that's what Greg had said.
We burned through another 200.
You could correct me if you're on.
He's on there.
You could correct me.
You know he will.
But so the thing about Melanistic is Melanistic came out. People got to see who we are. And you got to go to the launch party.
In the evening.
In the evening. So you were able to purchase your
ticket
and get a link for the ticket and then purchase it online, which puts you on a guest list. Mm-hmm. The guest list was the key, and we will always, and I need to look into the camera, we will always have a guest list, and you will always be required to purchase tickets before you get there to be put onto the guest list. What we are trying to do is not have a house party, but we are trying to have a high class fine art
socialite bougie it's bougie black people
event.
Yeah,
right. We don't want you to come in and I have people come in and be like, this is nice, can I get in?
Can I tell you something? Some people literally were like, when they were leaving, they were like, that far exceeded my expectations. People really dressed up and came out just to be like, I knew it. And then when they came and food was included, I mean, really, you paid $10 and you ate.
$10, there was soup there, there was roasted jerk chicken.
You could smell the smoke. It
was beautiful. If I wasn't suffering from old dad body,
old gut syndrome,
old guts, I would have ate.
Yeah, old guts. That's your problem.
I would have ate way more jerk chicken. I had Asha was so nice, and I want to say thanks out to Asha for volunteering and doing her part. She brought me a nice little plate because I was just sitting there with her and we were just hanging out, and she brought me a plate of jerk, roasted jerk chicken and festival. And I ate one and it burnt all the way down. And
for the record, it was not spicy.
It wasn't spicy. It's just.
He just has a.
It's just a situation. Every 7 years, the human body sheds every cell and you are a whole new person every 7 years.
Except your heart and brain, I think.
Except for your heart and your thought process. You have to change those yourself.
Literally. That's in your hands.
So she brought it and she was looking at me like, yo, you ain't good. I slaved over this. You ain't good.
Slaved over it.
That's what she said. I said, I didn't tell you this, but I can't eat spicy food.
I want you to know, for the record, every food you left on the front desk, I ate.
You ate it?
I came behind you like a vacuum cleaner.
I saw the soup was gone. I was like, what? Did you just eat my soup? I came back for the soup.
No, you didn't.
I did. I was like,
is this Nigel's soup? She's like, yeah, I don't think he... I said, I'm going to drink it. She goes, I don't think he would mind if you drink it. If you drank it. I was like,
totally bite. So this is the only thing I could have eaten.
Yeah, but there's pata and pata and
pata. There was pot.
They
took pot home.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I would have taken
I saw them with the pot going outside. I was like, oh.
Oh, man. I would have taken that. I said,
look at that nice corn soup. It's corn soup.
A corn soup.
Or is it soup corn for you? Corn soup.
I almost feel like telling you that you're not Caribbean enough soup, to make that joke.
Soup the corn. You can tell me whatever you want.
I do not accept.
So anyways, the night was awesome. So make sure you're on the list. We will be doing another party.
Now that we have used Eventbrite, everybody who has come will let you know. Like, we can send it.
We can send email. We'll send an email to let you
know when the Lex launches.
And then once you get the email, you forward it. Forward off to whoever you need to forward, so you can come to the next event. Mm-hmm. The event was good. The first few hours, I'm going to tell you this, until about 8 o'clock. Or 8:30, it's family friendly. After 8:30 is not family friendly. So I had my children there, which was great. And Charlie, my wife, was there. Shout outs to Nyla, Niana, Nashad, Naraya, and Charlene. They came by to support. They were there. And then I sent them home because it was getting late. It looked so tired.
Bye. Like, oh, bye. You tired?
Yes, and the same one who's been tired that whole time.
She has a fever. She looked last night like she was, her bed was all that she wanted in life.
Yeah. So, they really came out, showed out. Everybody came out. I took people through the rooms. I let them know. I gave them a little bit of a history on the vignette space.
How about David Shepherd came out?
David Shepherd came out.
Like, he like attended.
Tuxedo. This is what I'm talking about, people. This is what I'm talking about. Your MLA is showing up with a tuxedo.
Please don't make it like David Shepherd came dressed for the party in a tuxedo.
Came
from another party.
For dressed success.
I said, your outfit is fine. He's like, sorry, I'm a little overdressed. I'm like, you're actually perfectly dressed.
He's perfectly dressed.
He had a little purple bow tie and a little purple
dress. Let's just say that there were very minimal people who were underdressed for the event.
People dressed up.
People dressed up and out. They showed out.
People had their stuff on. All of their regalia was there.
Oh, it was great.
It was nice. Everybody was beautiful. Mm. Lotioned. It was nice.
Yes. No, not an ashy face.
In sight.
Yeah. It's a perfect opportunity for us to actually do a few things. So what we want to do for the next party, and this is Shadow, this is before I talk to anybody. I'm not even talking to anybody.
Executive decisions these being are made. These
like right here, right now.
I don't even know what he's about to say next.
This is exciting. No idea.
As soon as he says it, Greg's going to be like, no.
I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth before it comes up. Okay, here it is. If you have a item that you want to market, talk to our marketing director about the cost for putting your marketable items out there on the front desk so we can boost your stuff.
True.
This will increase your sales by like 250,000%. And it's an actual statistic. I thought you were statistic. Coming
with a number.
It's an actual statistic.
Greg said what?
I'm not making this up, people. This is for real.
Okay. I agree with everything. I think maybe the stats are a little bit off, but the
Tate is good. I was like,
what? 250,000?
I'm just saying. Okay, I exaggerate a bit because I don't have all the numbers.
Talk about spending power.
This is what I'm saying. With me and Nilo here.
Greg said stop right there.
with me and Nilo there. You know, yeah. We can make things happen. So just talk to us and see what we can do. And we'll talk.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll talk
also,
about it. Also,
cool. One of the things we did that was really cool was had a story submissions room that we called Story Time. Mm-hmm. So people just put post-its up on the wall.
They were really good post-its.
Yeah, people put post-its up on the wall. And they had all different topics that they would want to see from the magazine. Some of them we've already actually been talking about. Tanya and I have a little thing where we put our articles that we're going to read to make up,
yep,
to write the articles. So for the next one, it's going to be, I think, a women's issue. I Am Woman is the focus.
I like it.
Yeah.
So I think all of us can relate.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, because not everything that affects, like, women don't live in a vacuum. And sometimes the things that affects women is men. So if you care about the women in your life, you can read the magazine and have an idea, an understanding of what they're going through, what challenges we're facing.
I want to read this magazine now. I want to know if it'll give me better insight to the women that are in my life. I have twin daughters, and I feel like as they're getting older,
you're slipping away from me.
My understanding of them is like, what? Dad, she said that this was this. I was like, but is it true? Yes, but I'm like, okay.
No, Sanaya, when she was in preschool, used to be like, he hit me back. Like, what? Did you say back? That's how honest my kid is. So you say you hit him first? Yeah, but he hit me back.
By the way, Sanaya is my all-time favorite teenager in the whole world.
She's not going to tell you said that. She does not watch this show.
Whether she watches it or not, it does not negate the fact that it is true.
Yeah?
Yeah, she will be my all-time favorite for another 2 years.
Okay, and then the children turn into teenagers.
Then Sean will be 13.
Okay.
Maybe a year because he'll turn 13 this year. So that's going to be great.
I'm sure she's glad to occupy that space.
Yeah. Listen, if you want to get your copy of Melanistic Magazine, let me go back there for a sec. You can get it right here at the shop when you're picking up your products here.
True.
Right? So come down to the shop. That's at 11445 124th Street.
As soon as I put you in the steamer, I'm going to put a magazine to your head. That's actually literally what I've been doing.
And that's what's happening.
Like, read this.
Read this. King's, I got to go down and drop a bunch over at King's Barbershop. They're like, where are our copies, please?
I actually sent like maybe 20 with Noelle.
So if you're getting your hair cut at King's or you're going over to
Alma.
Then
you'll be able to get it. Actually, if you go onto the website, melanisticmagazine.com, there's a list that has all of our distribution partners. If you are a business and you want to carry the magazine, you can go in there and sign up, and the sign up link will send us a quick email. And we'll be able to definitely get the magazine in your store. And then additionally, get your store on the website, which people may visit your store just to pick up the magazine, who knows, and then realize that you got something going in there. So it definitely helps with traffic at Aphrodisiac. We have a lot of reading materials here, so it's a nice addition to the lot of things that we have. I've seen people read the magazines frontwards and backwards.
Yeah, honestly, the magazine's pretty good. The only problem we've ever faced or any
too short.
Yeah, it's too short.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to get it longer. So we'll need all the help, all the volunteers.
Definitely.
That we can.
That's the other thing I was gonna say is if you have a skill or a talent, if you're a photographer, if you're a writer, if you're a blogger and you kinda wanna be a part of this process, link us up for sure. People definitely have already been like, yo, how do I get in on this?
Yeah, and here's another thing, too.
We're serious. That's what I also want to say.
We're dead
serious. Not out here playing, so.
This ain't a game,
sir. Don't come with your.
This ain't a game.
Shit. Shaving.
Here's my emoji. Do you know which one?
I literally don't.
You don't know this emoji?
Don't. No, he's looking straight forward. If it's the guy with the wide eyes.
No, it's this one right here.
Or just the eyeballs themselves.
You have That's to. All I have is pure eyeballs on my face.
If you isolated the eyeballs, I would have known for sure.
So, we want to use you and the talents that you have in all aspects. So, we need videographers as well mm-hmm. for the website. We want to do a lot of video content as
B-roll
well.
B-roll type stuff.
Yeah, lots of B-roll. We want to be able to interview. We want to provide other content as well mm-hmm. on there. Fun stuff that's on there. As I said many times, I want to do a section called UPPL. I want to do that.
You want to do your little rant?
I'm not ranting. It's more comedy. You keep saying rant. I keep saying more comedy. You keep saying rant. I keep saying more comedy. So we'll see how this goes. It's a tug of war here. So we'll see. But it was really a great night. And want to say thank you to all the people. Once again, DJ Game Girl came through, which was really awesome. Bobby T for hooking up that space. The space is the Jana building. That's at 10420 103 Ave. So if you want to get a space, you want to rent a space, you want to rent out a space or do any type of activity, it is the place. And we had people walking around and going through each of the rooms and going through different stuff and taking pictures and sticky notes and then the food. And there was a bar upstairs and a bar downstairs where people can get different drinks. The non-alcoholic punch that they had was amazing. It was like an orange punch.
That was non-alcoholic?
That came in a non-alcoholic and an alcoholic version.
Okay.
So the alcoholic version had rum in it.
So they just put a shot in?
They put a shot of rum in it, and then the non-alcoholic was just it. But the non-alcoholic was the truth. It was really good. It was refreshing. It was cold. Mm-hmm. So that was
I really kept good. Trying to eat the oranges. It was not working for me.
They asked Greg to bring two oranges. He brought a bag. In true.
So then I could have eaten.
In true guy fashion.
And then in true gatekeeper fashion, had a bowl of oranges there, wouldn't even let me have one orange.
Greg reminds me of when Charlene, my wife, calls me. It's like, I'm thirsty for a Coke. And I bring like a 2-liter. I'm just like, here, here's all the Coke you could ever want. It's like, so he brought his bag there. We had the drink. The drinks was nice. I gave the children that. They tasted it first and gave it to me, actually. And I was like, wow, that's great. So we do want to keep it, though, very high fangle dangle. Is there anything I'm missing from that portion, from our weekend? Oh, today. Sorry, I am missing something. Today was the Church Service Black History Month launch. This is where we launch forward into all the stuff that we push forward in. So at RCCG, shout out to RCCG Church. I went there today. We had a great worship set. And we talked about Gospel Night that's coming up on February 8th. I didn't get a chance to talk about Five Artists One Love there. But I did talk about Gospel Night and boosting Gospel Night. I will be emceeing for Gospel Night. It is fun. I have a great time every day, every time. So it's always a really good time.
Mm-hmm. People really look forward to it.
Yes. Gospel Night is growing and growing and growing. When I first got there, there was about 100 people. In a place that seats 2,500.
Were they spread out or did they at least sit together?
They were spread out. They were spread out. They're like two people in the balcony. Woo! I was like, hey, I see you. And so after a while of doing it, you know, some of the choirs, including my church, got tired. They got tired of coming out. They got tired of the whole event. They didn't see the need to come out. But I wanted to join the MBCC because of that. I was like, what happened to this place? I remember as a kid, it being packed out to the nines. Every floor, every single piece, the third stage, the second stage, and the main floor, full. I had people arguing in the thing. you want to bring out people to your thing and you don't have enough tickets for people. You're selling out like you don't even have no room for anybody. And the people at the front are like, listen, we had the tickets to sell. You just didn't get any. You just didn't get it in time. You're late. I remember as a kid watching people argue in the lobby because they didn't get a chance. They're fighting to get in. Then I realized you can literally pay at the door and get a front seat, front row seat. Like, that's where it was. So the next year when I came on, we jumped up to 400. And then nice. Last year, we jumped into the 700 range. Mm-hmm. This year, I'm trying to crack 1,000.
I like it.
So it's going to be up to everybody to come out. It's actually different from how it was before in the past. We have Akroneers. We have different people out there. We're not trying to make it your church concert. We're trying to make it a high caliber concert. So things will be changing through the years where we'll be trying to get people to showcase that what's going to be there first so mm-hmm. we can get a viewpoint on time, which we will try to get. So next year we'll be starting auditions early. So it'll be like September, we'll have auditions of the people who are going to perform. And yeah.
Okay, sounds excellent.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
Greg said when they asked him for the oranges, it said 4 units of orange. And he was like, I don't know what 4 units of oranges
four
are.
4 units
well, of orange, I assume please. 1 unit is 2 oranges or 3 oranges, so I bought 12. He didn't do all that, but... Okay, let's move into the day. It's a sad day today for a lot of people.
It's a sad day. We found out that earlier today, Kobe Bryant and his daughter have died. They mm-hmm. were in a tragic helicopter accident. After he, for a lot of people, he became the Michael Jordan of basketball. For a lot of people, they were like, he's the next best thing. Especially in a certain age range. Kobe Bryant is what is considered one of the greatest players to ever touch the ball.
Kobe started playing when I was in high school. And I was playing high school ball at the time. And I could not get my number that I wanted. So I got number 8, which was Kobe's first number.
First number, yeah.
So I actually, my friend Dave Hoover, shout out to Dave Hoover, and all the guys who used to come and watch me play would be like, "Put Kobe in, Kobe!" And I remember, like, just as a basketball fan, I remember when he first came out and watching, like, laying on the couch and watching game after game after game and watching him play. And I had his sneakers at some point. Mm-hmm. I was a Kobe fan, but I'm not a sports fanatic. I tend to be fans of people.
Yeah.
Other than teams, so.
And a lot of people have gone through the whole, you know, the whole thing, you know, who's better, Michael Jordan or Kobe? Now it's who's better, Michael Jordan or LeBron.
Kobe or LeBron.
And Kobe and LeBron get compared.
Two games ago, LeBron just beat Kobe's all-time high. Shooting high. And if you remember correctly, the last game that Kobe played was a Kate game. Like, nobody defended him, and the guy put up like 64 points.
No.
So LeBron apparently just recently broke that. And today there was video of him like leaving his plane, just bawling out on the tarmac, wiping his eyes and crying and just being so upset.
With LeBron?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, frick. R.I.P. to you guys who are basketball, like super huge basketball fans. I guess as celebrities, I understand what it is like. That sounds like I'm calling myself a celebrity, but I understand what it's like to feel like so connected to somebody.
Yeah.
Because we have access to people's lives so fully.
Mm-hmm.
And Kobe's been around for a long time. I mean, he came into the league fresh from high school, so... Mm-hmm.
I remember being out on the court. I mean, I don't play much anymore, But when we used to play all the time, you know, younger and in university and stuff like that, the one thing that I always remember, you shoot your shot and you yell out Kobe's name, like Kobe shot, right? And we used to do a lot of stuff. A lot of people were Lakers fans. A lot of people still have the jersey in their closet. Mm-hmm. He played a really good game. He played with Shaquille O'Neal. He played against Shaquille O'Neal. Mm-hmm. He went up against the best. He went up against Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things. Was like, oh, he's better than Michael Jordan. And he came and he literally was really good. He was a really good player. Watching the two players play was almost like a mirror image of the two players. He did mimic a lot of stuff after Michael Jordan. That's like the base of how he started playing. And when mm-hmm. you start from where somebody is the top of their game and you start there, and you start going up from that, you get better and better and better.
Actually, one of the reasons that he only played for one franchise was because Jordan only played for one franchise. Yeah. He said that back in the day.
And it's a really cool thing. And it's saddened. A lot of people are sad because a lot of people are like, you know, hidden Kobe fans, especially in a certain age range. Huge Kobe fans. Mm-hmm. And even through scandal and through everything that has gone through and him coming out and being good, he has his daughter with him. They go in the helicopter.
They're going off to a basketball game at his academy,
and they showed the kids waiting at the academy, and then they showed I think TMZ has a video right now of the children finding out that Kobe died and what happened.
The amount of stuff we have access to now is so insane.
The information is information that you get is good, but it can be bad and sad so at the same time.
Yeah.
It's a lot. So
that's a hard one. Like, hi, you're about to be Kobe Bryant. Oh, he died.
Mm. And somebody mentioned to me just today, like, hey, you notice that every time there's a Grammy, somebody dies. And they talked about Whitney Houston. Yeah, the Illuminati thing. And Whitney Houston that happened too. And
that's their sacrifice?
I don't know what happened. Robin Williams, I think, was one before that. Or
I think they said that also helicopters crash like at a far higher rate than any other flying aircraft.
I can imagine. Me right now, being in this winter wonderland that we live in, I cannot see anything. I can't see a helicopter's not in my brain,
in your mental range.
You can't. I have to live somewhere like where they were, where it's sunny before that. So
last year when we had one of the parties we had leading up to Kanye West, we got a noise complaint and the police brought out the whole helicopter with the lights and everything. I'm like, this is like how somebody called like, oh, there's a noise, I can't sleep, and then you bring a whole helicopter with that bright light? Like, so are you just don't want us specifically to make the noise, right?
Right.
But anyway, yes. So RIP Black Mamba is definitely devastating for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, so it's a rough one today. So, you know, shout out, our hearts go out to all the fans that are mourning, and all the family members that are mourning Kobe's death. I think he has another child.
He has,
I don't know,
I think four girls. So four or five girls.
So they just lost two members of their family at once.
Yeah.
I think they're still trying to pinpoint whether Rick Fox's daughter was on the plane, on the helicopter as well. They're still trying to verify that. But we'll see what happens and how it progresses.
Yeah. Next thing, speaking of Grammys, is that our homegirl
Coffee
Toast, yeah, she got a whole best album in the reggae category. So firebun the Grammys, because they always put us in the part of the show where nobody sees us come up and get our stuff.
Yeah.
So she did accept it. You can go online and see it. but it's definitely not like during the regular Grammys like everybody else's Grammys. Who's hosting this year?
I don't know.
I do not care about that awards ceremony. Sorry. I said, who's hosting? That jam was last damn night.
Who's hosting this year?
Watch me know how coffee went, and I couldn't even tell you who hosted the thing. Like, I don't know.
Every year.
Okay, I'll let you finish.
Every year they never show reggae category, and they never show... I didn't even know there was a mixtape category.
What?
I just found that out recently, that there's a mixtape category. Over here in Canada, the Junos is the Junos. They don't even have...
They don't even have a hip-hop category.
They don't.
Wait, I was kidding. They don't have a hip-hop category?
No, they have a hip-hop category. Okay. They don't have, like, reggae, I don't think. It might be reggae, or it could be a gospel. So you definitely don't have a gospel category.
Deborah Duggan, who is the old CEO of the Grammy, National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, uh-huh. She was terminated after she felt like she brought up that there was sexual harassment and irregularities with the Grammy nominations.
Right.
So what she's saying is that the members are highly susceptible to corruption, and it's a male-based bodied organization.
Wow.
So times like, let's say, last year when, or the year prior when Ed Sheeran didn't even make it, but a lower-ranking artist made it, mm-hmm. it had to do with that lower ranking artist sleeping with somebody on thing. Yeah. So apparently that is what has been going on. She said it's been historically male dominated leadership. There is reggae
for the Junos, yeah.
Okay.
So
we're gonna have to go get that.
We're gonna have to get one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy.
Reggae. Like duh.
I'm on it.
Check, see what other categories we could do it.
Okay.
I'm not trying to get no best male or anything.
Oh, there's comedy album.
How come Sterling doesn't have that already?
I don't know. You gotta nominate somebody for it.
Okay, let's mental note, figure out how to nominate Sterling for a Juno.
Contribution to Canadian music. We could try for that one.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
So she says that she made the claim and then she got terminated. So what she's saying is that her termination was because of the claim.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So she said it's like a boys club. She said they created a toxic and intolerable work environment, engaged in bullying and abusive behavior, abusive conduct.
Wow.
They said that that's it.
No. Oh, I forgot there was one more thing on go ahead.
I was gonna say that it turns out that there are other artists, other board members, employees that have all raised the same complaint.
Wow.
About it. So she's not making it up. And she's a woman, so.
That's deep. Well.
My eyes are watering and burning.
I know why.
They want to close badly.
That and your
Mascara
is...
It's just stain now. It's not real mascara anymore. It's just stain.
Okay. There's like a clump right in here, and I think it might have fallen. I forgot to tell you that Kobe Bryant became a philanthropist, and he had his own foundation, his own gym. He was a coach, father. Mm-hmm. So all these things he went on.
It was like the Mamba Foundation or something?
After he retired. And when they announced it, there was this newscaster that said that the play play went down with the with Kobe Bryant and a couple LA niggers.
Whoa.
And she said it. It's recorded. You can go see it on YouTube. And she said it. And then she comes back. She's like, no. What happened was she was saying the Knicks and the Lakers. So she was trying to say, it got caught up in her head. So she was like, Neckers.
Okay. She's like, no, there was a K there. You didn't.
She's like, no, I would never say that. It just, I mixed up these two things.
These two unfortunate words in this very unfortunate way.
Spelled.
Her mouth was like, oh, so niggers is what you're trying to say? Why are you making it so complicated?
It's like, Alexa, did you mean?
Yeah, I'm Alexa, did you? That. That's what happened. She had a thought. She was like, knicker. Her brain was like, you mean niggers? Just say it.
Just say it. Just said it. She recoiled the statement. She's trying to keep her job.
Yep. We're not sponsored by Coca-Cola.
We are going to be sponsored by Coca-Cola.
Okay. All right.
And we are trying to get sponsorship, people.
That spit into our microphone.
We are trying to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know this is what's happening live.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, and Kobe's my age.
So. Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. So I was like 15, 16, and then he was like 20. I was 18. He was 14. He was 18, right?
Yeah, ma'am. 1996.
Is that the right numbers? No, 5 years we're apart, right?
Yeah. What year were you born?
One of them. In the 1900s. My daughter was like, when she was like, she must have been 4 or 5. She goes, some kid told her he doesn't want to play with her because she's black at school.
Oh, wow.
And she turned to that kid and she was like, what is that, racism? Martin Luther King got rid of that in 19-something. I said, you said 19-something? I should beat your ass.
She came back with the best retort she could come up with.
She said
the thing.
Do we want to talk about Martin Luther King Jr., that thing that I read?
Or do we want to just
keep it to ourselves forever?
No. Martin Luther King, happy birthday to Martin Luther King, God rest his soul. But we all know that nobody's perfect, and there's always history behind people and the stuff.
Can't put people on a pedestal.
So what happens is we put, the world kind of put Martin Luther King on this pedestal for the things that he's done, and he's done a lot of great things for
society. And they definitely sanitized his legacy.
Yeah, they made sure that it looked clean and he was clean as a preacher or whatever.
I have two things to talk about. Oh, sorry.
But they are showing now that there are records of and phone conversations that were recorded by the CIA.
FBI.
By the FBI that have retracted documents of him with other women, with him condoning and participating or going in rape, different rape scenarios.
Because they bugged the lamps in the room.
And these things are usually kept a secret for 50 years. So the 50 years is up.
In 2027.
So when 2027 comes,
but some of them are still up there on the archive for some reason. They're saying that it's a little bit sloppy how they did it, but so the guy who wrote the MLK documentary is now the one who wrote the article about these tapes that'll be coming out in 2027. There's a reverend that's raping one of the church girls, and he's laughing and giving directions while they're in the same room. He's laughing and giving directions.
Yeah.
There's all kind of different things. I guess they said all the transcripts are there. You can get a significant amount of the transcripts now. I guess I kind of felt like, so on the online discussions I've had about it, people showed up and they were like, oh, well, he was a hoe. And I was like,
yeah.
And then I definitely had people be like, yeah, but it's rape. Like, it's not how that works. It's not like you're a hoe. No. It's rape is rape.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. A lot different.
So we just have to think about our heroes as people, I guess, who are inherently flawed.
Yeah, I learned that a long time ago.
Mother Teresa's orphanage is now being investigated for child trafficking. So in keeping with keeping your heroes in perspective.
Yeah, I learned that. I used to speak to this young brother that was going to our church, and he came around a time when a very popular gospel artist cheated on his wife, and it became very public. And his wife, you found out later that his wife was cheating on him with another gospel artist. Mm-hmm. So it was a big circle of cheating and blah, blah, blah. But the music never changed. Like, the music was still
good. Still banging. Actually, even better.
It was still about life and God and right. And about going through these struggles that people go through on a day-to-day. And that's when I realized that there is examples of God in the Bible using a donkey to speak to the people. Like, it didn't really matter the caliber of the animal that he used. It didn't really matter. That was really the basis of the scripture, is that he could use rocks, he could use whatever, because he's God. Mm-hmm. So
donkeys are extremely smart, by the way.
They are, and nobody said that, but they're extremely stubborn.
They are.
So that is why it's like, okay, you probably would tell a donkey to say something, he'd probably be like, nah, dog, I'm good.
A horse would say that shit immediately, though.
Yeah, the horse would be like, what do you want me to say? So that's and looking at that, I realized, wait a minute, all these people from there was a guy named Jimmy Graham. Mm-hmm. There's Billy Graham, and there's another guy, Jimmy something. I can't remember his name. And he also got caught with some girl or prostitute or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show that God can use anybody to say his word. He just is trying to get his word to the people.
Right.
And if you're available, he will use you to get the word out to the people.
So the moral of the story is that Nigel thinks that MLK is a donkey.
Okay. Is that really?
That's what I bubbled it down to.
Okay.
That was the essence of where you were. Like, no.
So the moral of the story is he's human just like anybody else and subject to the same laws and factors of human beings.
Yeah, we're spirituals having this human existence, and sometimes you have to just, you know, things yeah. happen, and sometimes you have to feed this body. That's what I say all the time. I have to feed this body. I'm driving around all over the place.
It's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do you want to move into movie and music now? What's in your ears, and what's on the screen?
Okay, so as we both know, Bad Boys for Life is in movie theaters. I so want to see it.
Okay. So I thought you were gonna say it. Okay, Bad Boys for Life. Have you seen it yet?
I'm not. I want to see it. Bad.
I too would like to see it.
So there's that.
There's a lot of shows on my list, though.
There's a lot. There's too many.
There are plenty.
So there's that. Things are going well with the Black Panther now with casting for the next
movie. Black Panther. Okay.
So if you want to get in on that Black Panther
movie.
Get your headshots done over here at Aphrodisiac.
Oh, Hairspray. Wow. Okay. There's the plug.
Over at 124th Street.
It's true.
And we got the whole setup for your brother or sister.
Or sister.
Or they. Them. Mm. And yeah, mm-hmm. We put it up there and it will be great.
So what is on in your ears? What are you listening to?
Right now in my ears, I'm listening to LaShondra Johnson.
I remember her, right? She was homeless. Is that who she is?
Yes.
You like her a lot.
She's been coming out with just new material, new stuff. Mm-hmm. Not new material, but she's just been posting a lot and putting stuff on. What she was doing before was she was going out in the streets and trying to meet people where they were and preach to them. Now what she's been doing is she's just been making appearances on different shows. Like, she's the hotness right now, so people are like going. But she, there's a gentleman by the name of B. Slade. B. Slade is a artist that was formerly known as Tony when he first came out.
Was he with two other Tonys, or it was just gospel?
It wasn't Tony.
It's actually Tony.
No, it wasn't Tony. No.
Got you.
So yeah. His name was Tony, and I loved his music. Came out, he's like, woo, and he has like his range, vocal range was great. His vocal acrobatics were great. Everything was great. Or is great. And then he came out with this really great album called Out the Box, and then went through a huge crisis with the death in the family and I think a divorce. And he was like, he came out and he's just like, yeah, I'm bisexual, and my name is now B. Slade. So in the church community, it was like, ooh, wow, really, all of this information, process. And he started to make music that was not gospel music anymore. So they brought him just recently, I think it was on the Source Awards, it looked like, him and LaShondra Johnson singing the old classic, the two of them. And they're both growlers when they sing. They do all that stuff. And the two of them are going back and forth. And I was like, oh, man, the song was jamming before they started doing that. And it was just really good. So LaShondra.
So what you got? Nice.
Let's see where I'm at. What about you?
I'm getting into new soca. The stage right there. Yeah, just listening to more gel. This weekend has passed, which is phenomenal. I feel like I don't know what I'm doing with my life anymore. This is over. But it's time to start practicing my DJing.
The ones and twos. DJ Thick Nick.
I was supposed to do something there towards the end. Do you see how I know music production now? Yeah, I've just been watching. I'll give a plug because why not? This guy named Phil Harris, who is this redheaded Euro guy. I can't really tell exactly where his accent is from, but he sounds like maybe he's from Liverpool. You know what I love most about that accent? Is that now everybody thinks it's funny. Did you see Kanye and Rewo like... And actually, in the green room, I said, "Awasa wata," and Rewo just cracked up laughing. And then I said something to Uzila. Uzi's like, "Oh my God, I heard your Guyanese accent." I said, "You've never heard me talk my language?" It's like, no. I'm like, yeah, I'm always over here with the Queen's English, I guess. Not really. I think most of my twang is still American. Because no, you don't think so? Mm. People are like, you have an accent. Where are you from? And I'm like, I'm literally not.
People have been saying that to me.
Your whole life.
Just because you're black.
I have a funny story.
A little
to
bit
tell
of Caribbean in there. Is there Caribbean inside your language? Where are you from?
Jamaica, right? Right.
Jamaica, right? Absolutely not. I'm from Canada.
I was in a place called Trader Joe's in the States, and I was picking up my little vegetables, and I was paying in cash. So I handed the cashiers, who was like Susie Q 1 and 2, pretty much like Desperate Housewives with the side job type ladies, right? So I'm paying with a $100 bill, and the American $100 bill just turned to color. They just changed it to color. So they're like, oh, this is weird, right? This is so weird. I said, well, a lot of countries in the world have colored money, and I'm Canadian, so I'm used to seeing this. And she's like, one of them goes, wow, you're Kenyan? You're far from home. And I'm like, no, I'm Canadian. And then the other one's like, oh man, I love it. How do you guys do the baskets on your head? Like, I love that. And I was just literally, bro, I was standing there like, I don't know what level to be offended at. I'm like, where, it's, should I be offended as a Kenyan?
Or as a Canadian?
As a, 'cause like, in the event that I really and truly was offended, a Canadian person, I would, are you okay?
You didn't say, hey.
Oh. Oh,
what are you talking about?
That's not Kenya, sir. Where's LaShawn? LaShawn! LaShawn, LaShawn, come quick. LaShawn, come quick.
What is this?
That is not Kenya, sir. Yeah, anyway, that was just a funny sidebar story about people hearing things that they've already set their mind to hear in the first place. I'm like, not what I said, but let's see where this street takes us. Okay, so we're on to the word. On to the word. Speaking of word, did you know that they made a new ghostwriter? My friend made a new ghostwriter. Do you know Ghostwriter?
Yeah, I heard they were coming out.
It's on Apple TV. My actual friend that I went to high school with, who Daniel Milburn also went to high school with.
This person.
And who has won an Emmy is the one who brought it back. Yeah. Kristen McGregor. Shout out to Kristen McGregor.
Shout out to Kristen McGregor.
Emmy Award winning Kristen McGregor.
Mm-hmm. Tatia says you have Brooklyn hints inside your talk, your speak.
As a person who was from Brooklyn for a little while, there's so many different Brooklyns.
Yeah, there's a lot. I only hear your particular vernacular.
Just me. Just you. And you have nothing else really to compare it to, even.
Only when you get upstairs, you're like, yo, B, this is what I'm saying, son. I'm like,
all of a sudden, I'm seeing myself with Tim's on and a New York Yankees hat and North Face jacket.
Yo, son, let me say some backup, son. This is what I'm saying.
Didn't Tony Baker do a sketch like that where his girl was getting upset and every time the camera switched back to her, she had another New York item on her?
Yeah, I think he did. And she was like, yo. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yo, I'm not even trying to hold you right now. That's how they're about to tell you the truth. I'm not even, actually, anything. Yeah. I'm not even trying to hold you right now, but this drink is excellent. I ain't even trying to hold you, but this drink is terrible. I don't want you to guess how I feel about this thing. All right, it's word time.
The word.
I don't know if you have one.
Do you have one?
I do, but sometimes I don't want to say my word because then I don't get to hear yours.
If you rewind, everybody, just rewind to last week and just...
The same thing happened.
Just see if she said the exact same thing.
It did.
But you had a great word last week.
It was good. Will always have great words.
Whoa, take it easy. But it's true. She always has pretty good words.
Yeah. I want to talk about, I want to talk about your projects coming to fruition and to do the things that people say that you're going to be a failure at, as long as it's in your heart to do that thing. I want to talk about consistency of work, of effort, and putting that in regularly. We did meet almost every Thursday, as much as I hate meetings. We're still on the air, don't fall asleep yet. You're like,
I'm not falling asleep.
Okay, man. Yeah, so consistency of effort.
Yes.
I also want to talk about having a team that matches your ethic. A lot of times we bring people in to our fold and they are not at the level as we are in terms of working towards the goal. So for me, I think one of the most incredible things, I have a client who's a process chemist, and she was like, I think I've said this before, I feel like, she talked about not having worked with a team that was efficient before and having to do most of the work and carry the load.
Yeah.
And so she hated teamwork. She hated team group projects. She hated it. Now she's in this place where everybody knows how to contribute and how to work as a team. And now all of a sudden it's like her favorite thing ever. She's like, it's like a third the work or a tenth the work.
Yep.
And you get so much done at the same point. That's how right. I felt. It's definitely how I felt about Melanistic. I think any team, there's going to be things that you have to learn about each other and role defining and all those things. But I certainly feel like we have a team whose ethics match. So I feel that is one of the, I would probably say one of the keys to success is have a team that matches your ethic. I think that's why Bliss Band works as well. It's because it's the work ethic that's in the band.
It's awesome, yeah?
Yeah.
And we all check each other, right? Mm-hmm. So if you step over a boundary,
yeah.
If you don't come to rehearsal on time, if you do something that's out of the scope of what you're supposed to be doing, but it's into the scope of somebody else,
yeah.
We're easily able to like walk over and be like, yo, that's not going to work out.
Yeah.
Let's just define this. This is my role.
Yeah.
I no think problems, but.
We keep our egos on the sideline, right? Like yeah. We all want to do better. And I think it has to also do with trust. I think we trust each other. Now I've trust everybody on both of any of my teams enough that if they came to me was like, yo, Nilo, XYZ, I would be like, okay, bet, right?
Bet.
Bet on it.
Bet.
Mm-hmm. I like that word. That's my word.
It was a good word.
Was it?
Yeah. Really good word. Keep your team together.
Yeah.
Build
and,
a strong team.
And consistent effort, consistent work. Mm-hmm. Consistency is key. That's true. That's it.
Amen.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us on this ever so special mm-hmm. episode 39 of the Black Multiverse Theory podcast. You can check us out at melanisticmagazine.com if you want to look at this thing that we've been talking about all night.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, that's it for us.
That's it.
All right, everybody, good night.
That's all, folks.
That's all. And here we go.
Okay. Yes. We're back on.
So
better.
We definitely missed this point. So we had a rap cipher.
DJ Game Girl came up with the music.
Yeah, mix. A nice 32 of the hottest beats.
Quick 32 beats.
Yeah.
32 bars.
Yeah, I think we had 4 beats, right?
Yeah. And we had everybody come on. We had Ro hit us up. Ro's amazing rapper in the city. He's
Ro Gittins.
Ro Gittins.
He's from Vinci.
And he has the lyrics. He's got it.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that flow.
Ro pretty much sits around and writes and freestyles all the time. He's mm-hmm. really about his music.
We got Rocksteady. Rocksteady came through. Rocksteady.
Heart.
This is his first time ever doing it.
He had heart. Yeah, he got up there, listened to the music.
Some people have special powers. They got wind. They got
water.
Earth.
Fire.
And heart.
Hot. He definitely had hot.
And without him, there'd be no Captain Planet.
True.
It's the truth.
I always thought heart was the worst one.
She
had animals. I'm like, what is this girl doing? Control animals? What? How is this natural?
Was it a girl? I thought it was a guy.
That Asian girl?
He was East Indian?
Yeah, I know.
Well, maybe, I don't know what that person identified as, but it's okay. At that time, Hort.
Yeah, and then we had Craig is Irish.
We had Irish. Irish came through.
Irish meets world. Let me tell you a funny story about Irish. I know how you're like, how could you have a funny story about Irish? What? Only if it has nothing to do with him. Go for ahead. Some reason, I keep calling that man in my head Craig English, which is the wrong.
Oh, man.
I literally had to delete it more than one time. I'm like, oh, yeah. Irish is his name.
So his Irish is his rap name. It's just his last name, which is Irish. And he comes through, and he came through with a bars, and his bars were straight fire.
Mm.
Straight fire.
He did a really great straight job, and everybody, fire. Like, literally up until the evening, Uzi was like, yeah, we got to figure out a way to get Rocksteady some practice and so on, so on, so. Literally, people were still talking about how to help him get better in the evening.
Yeah.
And practice and get more exposure and all that stuff. Yeah.
So don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up.
That's true, but look at that community again.
Like, yo, my name is Rocksteady. They ain't ready. And it was really good. He came through with his first bars. I actually recorded all of it, I think, more or most.
The whole cipher?
Yeah. Okay. Each piece.
Okay. Nice. So great. Yeah.
I think I can send it to you.
We also had, Irish, and then I'm a super fan girl for Tiffany, Tiffany.
Tiffany.
Yeah, so she closed it out with some black girl magic.
She did. She came through and she stayed on point with the top.
It was so on point.
If it was a competition, she definitely would have won the battle.
For sure.
By staying on topic and doing it. Now, Irish and her, I feel like it was close.
Yeah, it was close.
They both were on topic. They both hit it up. It was right there.
They had a system.
Yeah, they went through and they started off with the Black History Month item. And she came through and she was talking from the moment she started. She said, oh, man, I'm going to play it for you. She said
she was like, black is the color. She was like,
she listed up all the things that black is.
That's negatively.
Is negatively related. Black is the color of garbage bags. And the
She was like, black is the color of dirt. And then that was the dirt that she flipped around. But like, God made it earth, and that's why we stay in it. And whatever. I was like, this girl got bars.
I was like, she's got bars.
I love female rappers because they don't get enough play. And there was an era where there were so many female rappers. And now I feel it's the renaissance of the female rapper.
When I hear a hot, quick 32 bars, I call them chocolate bars because they're sweet. And that's why I do it. What? You don't want no chocolate bar?
So we signed off and we signed back on.
Did we sign back on?
Yeah. Now.
It's a quick chocolate bar.
The chocolate bar.
No, we didn't sign out. I didn't sign out.
No. No, signed out verbally.
Oh. Yeah.
All not right. Like boop, boop, disconnected things. So shout out to those folks who were okay. We're able to get up there on the stage and do their thing in the mall in front of all those people with all that reverb. Great job.
Really great job. Really, really great job, everyone.
Yeah, and thank you.
So, last but not least, check out that talent. Those people who came through, they really did an awesome job. They represented for wherever they're from.
Mm-hmm.
They're some of the best rappers in Alberta. We're going to bring them back again. We'll try and get
we want to put a cipher together. Yeah, a real one.
Mm-hmm. That was a real one, but another
one. It was a real one, but we mean extended. Not like 15 minutes. More like a night of hip-hop. What do you have? No sound?
In one of my ears, it just went up. Now it's back.
It's been going in and out for me.
Okay.
All right, y'all. So once again, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks.
Don't forget to check out Five Artists One Love this
Five
weekend.
Five Ale is the next weekend. Next time we talk, we'll be talking about Five Artists.
Five Artists One Love.
So it Saturday is on first. February 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Are they still doing the January 31st thing that they do? Do they do two nights?
Well,
like an art studio, an art night.
There's definitely the art night there. Go check out all the information on Five Artists.
The Alberta One Love Art Gallery
online. And also check out on Facebook. You can go into search engine and just press in 5A1L and it will come right up. You'll see all the information. This year it's going to be at McEwen University at the Allard Hall. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be amazing.
It's going to be We've got a lot of stuff going.
Yours truly will be in it. I've been practicing all week. I will be practicing all week, and I have been. So it's going to be great.
I will not be there. I will not be in it. I will be there.
And you'll see Nilo.
I will be there with my camera around my neck. Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. Again, once again, thank you so much for listening to us. Episode 39 now. Wow.
39.
Of the Black Multiverse Theory podcast. Have a good night, and we will see you next week after Five Artists, One Love.